The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas is Parashas Toldos. In the last two sedras, well, actually, it goes back to more than two sedras. But we've learned about two women who we have to be very grateful to, because both of them saved Klal Yisrael. One was Sora, and the other is Rivka. What are we referring to? In Parshas Vayira, in Chof Aleph Tes, after the birth of Yitzchok, and now Avraham had two sons. His oldest son was Yishmael, and that was from the maidservant Hagar. And then he had another son, Yitzchok, from Sarah. And Sora saw that the son of Hagar, who was the Egyptian maidservant, she actually was a daughter of Pare, a daughter of a king. She saw that her son, Ishmael, was Mitzachek. Mitzachek means that he was doing some bad things against her son Yitzchok. Some say idolatry, some say promiscuity, some say avenizor, some say shvichas domim. He even wanted to kill him. But Omel Avram, and she said to Avram, Goresho Oma Azeish Vesbeno, chase away the maidservant and her son. Because he shall not inherit together with my son, with Yitzchok. And Avraham was not happy with this. Not only was not happy, this was very, very bad in his eyes, al edis beno, because of this. We'll explain this further in a minute. And he didn't want to do it. And Hashem said to Avram, "Al yera be'enecho al anar v'al masecho. Do not let it be evil or bad in your eyes in regards to the young boy or the maidservant, your maidservant. And whatever Sora will tell you, you shall listen to her voice." Because your heir will be Yitzchok, not Yishmael. And here we're speaking not only of the material possessions, but of the spiritual possessions. Because Hashem had come to Abraham once when he said, Lech Lecho, go out from your land, forsake your land and your family. And another time at the Akedah. And he had promised, although actually this is speaking before the Akedah, but during these times he had promised Abraham a spiritual inheritance, that from his seed will be blessed all of the nations of the world. And this will be the seed that will bring Torah into the world. So he said, Ki bi Yitzchok yikore lechozora. This seed that we are speaking about will come through Yitzchok, not through Yishmael. But this, the son of the maidservant, I also shall make him into a nation. He also will become a great and mighty nation, because he is also your seed. And Abraham was a very, very, was like we spoke it a number of times, he was the Reishis, the beginning of the world, the light of the world. Yashkeim Avram Baboker. So Avram got up the next morning and he took bread and water and he gave it to Hagar. And she took the yelet, the boy, and sent him into the desert. Now the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar tells us in Perek Lamed, it states, Nisoyin Atishi Atshi'i. Avram was tested with 10 tests. This was the 9th. The final one was the Akedah Yitzchok, when he was commanded by Hashem to sacrifice Yitzchok, which follows. This was the 9th. And what was happening? Well, one of the things that was happening, the Medrash Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar states, is that one day Yishmael was shooting arrows at birds. And then, well, this he did often, but one day he saw Yitzchok sitting alone and he aimed the arrow at him and he almost killed him. And then later on he said, Mitzachekani, I was only playing. And there was a whole series of these events. And Sarah saw this, and she saw into this whole everything. She was afraid of his influence. She was afraid that maybe he would want to kill Yitzchok, because then he'll be the only heir. So she said to Avraham, you must write to Yitzchok everything. Give him everything which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised you, both material and spiritual possessions. Chayecho, Shein Ben Oma Zei Yerishim Benim Yitzchok. And by your life, the son of this maidservant will not inherit with my son Yitzchok. And Ksav Get Gerushin, write a get, write a divorce. Mishalach Esa Oma Azeis Uveno, and send away the maidservant and send away her son. May Olai Ume Albini, from me and from my son. Mina Elam Azeh, Mina Elam Abo, send them away from this world and in the next world. Now it states, Vayera Hadover. This was very hard in Avram's eyes. Mikol Ro Shabal Avraham, from all of the evils that Avraham had to suffer. This was the most difficult when it came to doing something which was so hard and difficult and evil. As it states, Vayera Hadover Mi'id B'nei Avraham. Because Avraham was the Amud HaChesed. He was the one who was the loving kindness to everyone. He had such generosity and such kindness that he was willing to extend it even to the Rishoyim, even to the evil ones. He went and he stood up to protect the Anshes Deim Va'amora, even though they were Roim V'chatoim Me'od, they were very, very evil. He went and tried to teach Torah to all of the people, even though they were idolaters. So certainly to his own son and to his own, she was a maidservant, but she was also his wife. And Abraham didn't know what to do. So in the Torah it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to listen to Soro. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Be'esa Laila, that night, in a dream, Nigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu. Omalei Avraham, and he said, Avram, yato yedea sho isa Sora ruye l'chol isha mimei imo? Do you not know that Sora is the rightful wife of yours? And she was fit and set aside for you from the time she was in the womb of her mother. V'hi chavertecho v'eishas nu'urecho. And she is your faithful friend and the wife of your youth. Le'nikreis hogar ishtecho. Hogar was never called your wife. V'le'nikreis Sora shivchoscho. And Sora was never called your maidservant. But to the contrary, Hogar was always referred to as your maidservant, and Sora was always referred to as your wife. So therefore, b'chol shedibro Sora be'emes dibro. Kol ma shetema ilecha sora shma bekeila. That whatever Sora tells you in regards to this, you must listen to her. From here, the Chazal say, we see that Avraham was tofel the Sora benivios. The Gemara brings, and Megillah brings from here, that we see Sora was a prophetess. But not only was she a prophetess, but in prophecy, she was even greater than Avraham, at least here, because she saw what Avraham didn't see. And kol ma shetema Sora, kol ma shetema ilecha Sora shma bekeila, listen to her voice, bekolah, shenema beruach hakodesh, because she's speaking with a voice which is inspired from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al yeira beinecho lanar vamusecho. This is, don't worry, don't think it's evil in regards to Hogar and in regards to the son. So the next morning he got up and he did as Sora said. He wrote her a get, he gave her a divorce, and he sent them out into the desert. Now, and then the story goes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of them also. From here we see that had Sora not sent Yishmael away and not tell Avraham to do this, then there would have been two heirs. There would have been Yitzchak and Yishmael. And not only two heirs, but Yishmael would have been the Bechor. He would have been the firstborn. And he would have got the greater portion. And that would have brought a churban, a destruction to the whole world. Because Yishmael and his seed were not at all capable of carrying the spiritual inheritance which HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Avraham. And they would have not been able to go to Har Sinai. The fact is, at a later point, Yishmael was asked if he wants to go to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And he asked, what is written in the Torah? And Hashem said, well, many things. For example, you shall not steal. And he says, Yod Bakol, I make my life by stealing. How can I go and bring this Torah? So had she not taken this action, then the Israel would have been lost and the world would have been lost, because there couldn't be a world without Torah. This was one of the preconditions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the Ma'aseh Bereishis, in the creation. And she had to take this action in spite of Avraham, because Avraham was diametrically opposed to it. And this also was the Nisein HaTshi'i, the ninth test that Avraham was tested. In other words, this was so difficult that this became a test for Avraham. It's interesting that what happened in the end on this story at the end of Chayei Sora, that's in the following parsha, last week's parsha, and Perchof Hei Posuk Aleph, it states, by Yosef Avraham, by Yikach Isha Ushmok Tura. After the death of Sora, and this was after, immediately after Yitzchok was brought, Rivka was brought by Eliezer, the servant of Avraham, for Yitzchok. And Yitzchok brought her into the tent. The previous psukim states, Vayivieho Yitzchok or Elo. Sorry, Imai, Vayikach es Rivka. That Yitzchok brought Rivka into the tent of his late mother Sora. And Vatileli Isha Vayavoveho. And he made her for a wife and he loved her. Vayinochem Yitzchok Achre Imai, and he was comforted through Rivka after his mother. So then Avraham went and he took, Sora had died, he went and he took for himself a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she gave birth to, the Torah itemized Zimron, Yokshon, Midon, Bijon, Yishbok, Shuach, and so forth. Kol Eile B'nei Ketura. Then it states, Vayitein Avraham is Kol Asher Leile Yitzchok. Avraham gave everything of his to Yitzchok. Ulevnei Apilakshin, and to the sons of the concubine, this was referring to Ketura, Nosan Avraham Atonus. He gave them gifts. And he sent them all away from Yitzchok his son while he was still alive. Kedma, to the east. Al Eretz Kedem, to the land of the east. It's very important that if a person wants to do something that should take place after his death, he has to do it while he's alive. It's very difficult to control destiny from the grave. Avraham was a chacham. He didn't wait to do that. This should be done after he died. So that's why the Torah tells us, by Edenu Chai, while he was still alive, so he gave them all gifts and he sent them all away. But everything otherwise he gave to Yitzchok. This is how Sarah had demanded at that time. Now the Pirkei de Reb Lezer, the Chazal tell us, and the Chazal tell us that, and this is also in the Pirkei de Reb Lezer, in this perek, that this Ketura was Hogar. He went and he took back Hogar. And that's why it states by Yosef. Yosef means where he added, he continued. That he continued to live with Hogar, he took her back as he was married to her before. But Yishmael and Ketura and the B'nai Ketura, those he sent away. Chozer Avraham v'lokach es grushosoy. Shneamar v'yosef Avraham v'yikach isho shmo Ketura. And she was a very righteous woman. Ushmo Ketura. Shoyso mikuteres mikol mine besomim. Ketura comes from the word incense. And she was like the incense which one sacrifices. And the Medrash Rabba brings Shoyso mikuteres b'mitzvahs u'b'maisim tovim. She was embalmed with all types of mitzvahs and deeds. And it states that from the time that she left Abraham, she would never go to another man until Abraham took her back. We have to say here that this, that Sarah had commanded Abraham to send them away, both in this world and in the next world, even though the way it's written implies on both of them, it would seem we don't have to say that it's mainly implied to Yishmael, because we see that Abraham went and he took back Hogar. The fact is, just before this, when Eliezer was bringing back Rivka for Yitzchok, so the pasuk tells us in pasuk Samach Beis, Yitzchok bo mi bei be'er l'chai ra'i. Yitzchok was coming from the well, which was known as L'chai Ra'i. Now, what is that place? That was the place where Hogar went in the desert and she prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yitzchok was coming from that place. Yitzchok was bringing Hogar back for Avraham. And the Medrash Darshans, what does it mean, L'chai Ra'i? It's a strange name. So the Medrash Darshans, it's a Medrash Rabba in Chai Soro, Perek Samach Aleph, Oz Dalet, and also Perek Samach at the end of Oshu Gimel, that she said, when she was sent away from Abraham, she said, Omra Lechai Elonim. She said to the giver of life to the whole world, Re'ei Be'elbaini, see my humility, see my shame. And therefore it was named L'chai ra'i, because she spoke to the chai, to the giver of life, l'chai elomim of the world, ra'i, see me, see my elbeini, see my humility, my shame, my humiliation. And she was repaid. In the end, Abraham went and he took her back. The there's a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin and of Tzarek Aleph, but in the Medrash Rabbah there's a similar Chazal, but much more in elaboration. And this is in Perek Samach Aleph Osvov. It states as follows. Bimei Alexander's Mugdan, during the time of Alexander the Great, Bo Bnei Yishmael, the sons of Yishmael came, the Eira al Yisrael al Bechere. Alexander was ruling the world, and he ruled Eretz Yisrael also. So the sons of Yishmael, these would be the Yishmaelim, one of the Arab. There were many Arab tribes that came from Yishmael and Bnei Keturah, so these would be the Yishmaelim. They came to complain, to put a case against the fact that Yitzchak inherited everything. And they brought with them two evil families, the Canaanim and the Egyptians. And they demanded a din, they demanded a judgment, a trial with the Hebrews in the presence of Alexander the Great. And Alexander being the king, the emperor, they wanted him to judge and to decide. So it came a big problem to the Chachomim. What should they do? If they lose this case, Alexander the Great will decree against them. Omru mi heilich v'doni mohem. So they started to discuss who should go and stand up against these people. There was a person by the name of Gevir ben Kesim, and he said, Ani heilich v'doni mohem. I'll go and I'll debate with them. I'll litigate with them. Omalei omru lo. They said to him, be very careful, because if your arguments do not find favor by Alexander, he can judge in their favor and will lose the land. Seems like a very familiar story, what's going on. So he says, don't worry, ani heilek v'doni mahem, I will go and litigate against them. Even atzei achesom, and if I'm victorious, harei mutav, then good. Lav, if I'm not, satem emrim, you can tell Alexander and his court, ma hagru azeh sheyir oleinu, why do you decide in the favor of Yishmael, of the Arabs and the Egyptians and the Canaanim? Who's this representing us? He's a no one. Why is he our representative? He's not from our great sages and wise people. All right, so they thought it was a good idea. Holach v'donim mohem. So he went. Omalei Alexandrus mugden mitevem yadmi. So Alexander Macedonia, he said, when they came, who's the plaintiff? Who's the one that's coming with the claims? Omru Yishmaelim onu tevei tovim yodon. So the Ishmaelim say, we are coming with the complaints against them. Umiteirosan onu boim aleihem, and we're coming against them from their own Torah. Ksiv, it says, ki asabachor ben asnur yakir. In Parshas Kitzeitzei, it states that if a man has two sons, and one is the eldest and the other is the youngest, and they're from two wives, and the eldest is from a woman which he does not love, and the younger one is from a woman which he does love, and therefore he wants to give the firstborn birthright to the other one, the Torah says he's not allowed to. He has to recognize the firstborn regardless of what wife he comes from. Yishmael b'din sheyitl pishnai. Avraham had two wives, Hagar and Sarah. He didn't like Hagar as much as Sarah, but we came from Hagar. Yitzchak comes from Sarah. Therefore, our portion should be twice as much, because the firstborn gets twice. Amalei Gevir ben Kisim, Adoni Amelech. Gevir ben Kisim said, "My lord, the king, ain't not a meisim ashur eitzel avonim. Can't a man do whatever he wants while he's alive? After he dies, you cannot, like we said, rule from the grave. But while he's alive, he can do with his inheritance whatever he wants." Amalein, Alexander said, "Yes, that's his right." Amalei, so he said, from the same Torah that they're bringing a claim against us, an accusation, is our defense. Voksiva yitein Avraham es kol asher lo Yitzchok, that Avraham gave everything he had to Yitzchok and to the Bnei Apelakshim, to the others, he gave gifts while he was still alive and sent them away. So we see that during his lifetime, there he already made Yitzchak the primary heir. V'nistalku misham bebeishes ponim. So the Bnei Yishmaelim left the court in humiliation. Omur Kenanim, then the Kenanim, it was the turn of the Kenanim. They came and they said, "We have a claim against Israel right from their own Torah. Bechol mokum siv arzo Kenan, eretz Kenan, yitnu lonu es atzeinu." And all of the Torah, Eretz Israel, is referred to as Eretz Kenan. It's our land. It belonged to our grandfather, Canaan. Canaan had conquered the land. So therefore, legally it was theirs through a conqueror's rights. So give it to us. Amalei Gevir ben Kisim. So the same man said, "Adoni Amelech, my lord the king, ein onam eisel abde mashu reitza. Can't a person do with his slave whatever he wants?" Amalei Hein. So Alexander said, "Yes." Omar Maksiv, so let's look in the same Torah that they are bringing an accusation against us. It states, by Noach, Or Kenan ever avodim yalai. Cursed is Kenan. He shall be a slave to shame, to others. So according to the Torah, the Kenanim are our slaves. The halacha is that a person can do with a slave whatever he wants. Not only does he own the slave, but he owns everything that the slave owns. So therefore the land is ours and the slaves are ours. We give all of Canaan to you, the king, as a gift. The Canaanim ran out of court immediately. With humiliation, they were afraid that they were going to be given as slaves to the king. Omru Mitzrayim. Now it was Egypt's turn. Miteirosan onavoyim aleihem. So Egypt said, "We want to prosecute you on the basis of your own Torah." Shishim rabua yotzu meitzleinu. It states clearly in the Torah that 600,000 of your men went out of our land, tunim kli kesef kli zov, and you carried with you, you stole from our land everything you could. Silver, gold, garments, and it states, v'yenatzles Mitzrayim. You emptied out Egypt. We demand, yitnu lanu es kaspeinu v'zuvena. We demand that you return all everything that you stole from us, all of the gold and all of the silver and so forth. Amalei Gevir ben Kisim. So Gevir ben Kisim said, "Adoni Amelech, my lord the king, Samech ribu b'nei Adam osu etzlom redu shonim." States in the Torah that 600,000 men worked for Egypt for 210 years. Mehem ksofim, mehem zuvim. Some of them were goldsmiths, Some of them were silversmiths and so forth. A fair price should be shemaitlin b'skor and dinar liyem, that they should receive for their work at least one dinar every day. Yesful filosofim, he says, call your mathematicians. The choshfu, let them make a calculation that if 600,000 men worked for 210 years and each one should receive a dinar a day, make a calculation how much Egypt owes us. As they were calculating, they only got up to 100 years. Where they calculated that there would be nothing left in Egypt to pay. The most Egypt could pay would be for 100 years of work, but not for 210 years. The Egyptians ran out of court because they were afraid that Alexander would be Machai, would obligate them to pay the balance, to pay the difference. So this is the Medrash which is brought here, because we see that history is constantly repeating itself. All of the time they come further with further accusations. And they usually bring it from the Torah, because it states that the Ishmaelim are the sons of Abraham. At any rate, but one other interesting point while we're here, the Medrash brings in Parshas Samach, at the end of Parshas Samach, that we notice that Abraham first made sure that Yitzchok was married to Rivka, and then immediately afterwards it states that he went and he married Hagar. So the Medrash tells us, "Limadcha Torah derech Eretz." The Torah is teaching us derech Eretz. Shim yelo adam banim gedelim. If a person has older children, if a person has younger children, and heaven forbid he loses his wife, he needs someone to care for the children. But if he has older children, oldest sons and daughters, yemesin tchila v'achakach uneisele isha. First he should marry off his older sons and daughters, and then he should look for another wife for himself, must be in a place where he, heaven forbid, has no wife. Mimi atol lomad mi Abraham. Who do you learn this from? You learn this from Abraham. So we see that even though Yitzchok brought Hagar before, he wouldn't marry Hagar until first he married off Yitzchok. Actually, unfortunately, classical examples of this is children that are many times it's successful, but unfortunately many times it's not successful, the children who were brought up by stepmothers, which is not always good. Therefore, if possible, a man should marry off his older children first, the Medrash is learning from Abraham, and then remarry. At any rate, what do we see from all of this? That not only Sora saved the day, but she saved Klal Yisrael, and through that she saved the world. Because had she had not taken this action, then Yishmael would have remained with Abraham. He would have been a son. He would have been a bechor. He would have been the primary heir, and there would have never been any Klal Yisrael and any Torah in the world. Now we come to Rivka. That parsha, we have the episode where Yitzchok is old, doesn't know when he's going to die, and he was blind. And he called an Esav his Bechor, his firstborn, because he wanted to give him the brochas. And Rivka went on her own and she intervened. And she told Yaakov what was happening. And she said, under no circumstances can you allow the brochas to go to Esav, but it must go to you. So go disguise yourself, and I will prepare meat, wine for you to take to Yitzchok, to your father, and you go in and you tell him that you are Esav and get the brachas. And Yaakov was afraid. He says, what happens if he realizes that I'm Yaakov and not Esav? This will bring on me a curse and not a brocha. She said, you still must go. And Olai Kliloscho B'ni Achshma B'keili V'leikach Le. I will accept the curse, but you listen to my voice. And this is what happened. And Yaakov got the brochas. Now, Vilna Gaon writes that Kol Hatzlochas Yisrael, all of the success of Yisrael in this world and in the next world, including the ending Vesa brochas, they were dependent on these brochas. These were the brochas which Hashem had given to Abraham. Hashem gave them to Abraham again by Lech Lecha. He gave them to Abraham again by the Akedah. And he said that Kol Yezaracho, this will be your seed. They will be so great and mighty you won't be able to count them. And all of the lands of the world will be blessed because of your seed, and they will bring Torah to the world. Again, had these brachas not been given by Yitzchok to Yaakov, but to Esav, then that would have been the end of Israel and the end of the world, because Esav was not at all fit for these brachas. And he was not at all fit to go to Har Sinai to bring down the Torah into the world. And he didn't want to. It's brought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Meisir Bo. He was coming from Har Seir before he came to Sinai, and that's the land of Esav. He had offered the Torah to Esav, and Esav said, what is written in it? And he said, many things are written in it, but you shall not kill. That's one of the mitzvahs. And he says, by me it states, Al Charba Chotichya, that you shall live by the sword. I cannot accept the Torah. The Maral writes that the whole reason why Esav has such a strong hand over Israel in the Golush, from Esav came, he was Edom. Edom was the mighty empire which Rome came from. And that's the nation which destroyed the second base of Migdash, and that's the Golus that we're in. And they were our greatest adversary. And the whole reason why they have such success over Israel in the Golus, the Maral writes, is because of Yitzchok's love for Esav. And when he did give the brachas to Yaakov, he gave them unintentionally to Yaakov, and without a lev gomor, the das gomor, with not total love and total intention. So then, kal v'chomer, how much more so, had he never given the brachas to Yaakov, Esav would have totally, heaven forbid, annihilated Yaakov and his people. So here Rivka intervened. She took a very bold step. This was totally against Yitzchok, diametrically against what he had commanded. And she did it bo achicha b'mirma. Esav claimed, Yitzchok told Esav, your brother came b'mirma in deceit. She did it in a deceitful way. But she saw that this had to be done, and she stepped in. And she changed the history of the world. Now firstly, we should know that Rivka, sort of, we know, was an exceedingly great woman, just to be Avram's wife. But it states that Sora, first she was Sorai, my queen, then she became Sora, L'chol Ha'elam, just like Avram was a king to the whole world, she was a queen to the whole world. But Rivka also was an exceedingly great woman. A few points on this. where we see it. Well, firstly, in the parsha, in the beginning of the parsha of Toblas, it states, Yitzchok was 40 years old. Bekachte es Rivka, when he took Rivka, Bas Bisuel Ho'arami. Rivka was the daughter of Bisuel. Bisuel was the son of Nochor, and Nochor was the brother of Abraham. So Bisuel, this goes back to Terach's family. So she was the Bas Bisuel, the daughter of Bisuel, Mipadan Aram. She came from Padan Aram. That was Aram Naraim. This was Iraq, Mesopotamia. This was Abraham's land. Achais Lavan, and she was the sister of Lavan Arami, Leili Isha. So the sages asked, what's the whole identification here? She was the daughter of Bisuel. She came from Padan Aram. She was the sister of Lavan. They want to, says the Torah, wants to tell us what a great and righteous woman she was, because she was born into a family of Rishoyim, of wicked people and idolaters. And she had a brother who was a Rosha. Lavan was the known Rosha. He was the deceitful person. He was the one who was to deceive Yaakov later on 100 times. And she came from a land of Rishoyim, of evil people. And she was alone. And still she managed to become such a righteous woman. The Maral brings in the Gurayi, he brings two explanations of these three things which are mentioned. He says that a person generally does what his father wants him to do, Mibnei Yira, because fear and respect. You have to listen to your father. So her father was an idolater, so she had to be an idolatress, and so forth. A person usually does what her brother does. What his brother does, Mibnei Abba. There's the kinship. Loves, the siblings love each other, so they follow each other. Lavan was such a wicked person, so she should have been nimshach after. She should have been influenced by Lavan machmas Abba, because of love. And then a person usually does what the people of that place does, because of minhag hamakom. It's the custom. A person naturally does what other people do in this place. So from all sides, she should have been a great rosho, very evil. Because her father was evil, her brother was evil, and the anshei hamakom, the people of the place, were evil. And she grew up alone. She didn't have a rebbe there, and she didn't have someone to idolize. Still, she was this great righteous person that was to marry Yitzchok. Yitzchok, the son of Abraham. Then he goes also a little further, that the almost the whole psychological and emotional makeup of a person comes from his parents. The parents are the genetic influence, and the siblings, this is another type of influence. It's Chatzi Besere, and the Anshei Hamakom, the people of the place. And yet, it tells us when Eliezer came to the well, and this was in last week's Parshin, Chayei Sora, first it states, he came to the well and he said that I'm going to ask a young lady that comes to draw water if she'll give me from her water. And if she will say yes, drink, and then she will offer on her own, I will draw water for your camels also. Now this was not a dover kotten, this was not something small, because a camel drinks a lot of water. You would need a tanker of water to feed a lot of camels. Eliezer had come with 10 camels and 10 camel riders. So for a young lady to say, drink, and I will bring drink for all of your camels also, I will draw water. And this was not, they didn't have electric pump. This was something very, very big. At any rate, it states he's watching by the well, and a young Nara, a lass comes, Tavis Marea, the old, very beautiful, Besulevi Ishla Yedo, and she had guarded herself from all of the other men, where she was totally pure. Now, this was a great praise from the fact that where she was living, and the fact that the family she had come from. This is why the Torah is praising it. And she went down to the well. Then it states, by Yoratza Everly Krosso, the Eliezer ran to meet her, and right away he shouted at her, "Can give me a little water?" And the sages ask, what did he run for? Just because a beautiful girl comes to the well, so he's running. there was a condition. Avraham made the condition that she has to be from his family. And Eliezer didn't know whose family she was from. Only later on does he ask, who's your father? So what's he running for? So the Chazal said, evidently he saw something. And what did he see? He saw that it states that she went and she went vaterera aino to the well, but male pada vato'al, and her jugs she filled up. It doesn't say Batishav that she drew the water. This is bring from the Rambam. It doesn't say that she drew the water. But she just went to the well and filled up the jugs. Well, first the water you have to draw out. It's a deep well. The water came up on its own to meet her. When he saw that, that's why he ran. He said there was something special about her. But that's not all. We find that this was a specific brocha that the Ovis had. That they would come near a well, the water would come up to meet them. We find this by many of the Ovis. And the fact is, we even find it later when Yaakov went down to Egypt. He gave a brocha to Pare that whenever you go near the Nile River, it'll come up to meet you. And that's what conquered the drought there. When Yaakov came down to Egypt, it was the second year of the drought. It was supposed to be 7 years. It stopped then. That was one of the reasons why he had to have Yosef take an oath, do not bury me here. Because the people of Egypt did not want Yaakov to go out of Egypt even after his death, because he had brought brocha, he brought water to Egypt. And we find it even later by Moshe. Moshe went to the well, and there he went and he saved the daughters of Yisro. And they ran back, they ran home, and he said, and Yisro asked, why are you so early today? And they told him the story, and they said he didn't have to draw the water came up. And that was one of the reasons that he recognized who maybe Mesh is from. So this was a brocha that the others had. But it's, to my knowledge, it's not mentioned before this. And from the Medrash it seems that Rivka was the first one that had it. The Medrash brings on this on Parshas Samech Osvob. Kol anoshim yodeis umamales mina ayin. All of the women came down to the well, and they had to draw the water. Zuk even shoro isa mayim, but she would only have to look at the water, and the water would look at her. Miyad olu, immediately the water would come up to meet her. Omle akorish baruchu. Akorish baruchu said, "At simen levanecha, you shall be a sign for your children to come." Ma'at kimen shorov esoch hamay miyad olu. Just like you, when the water will see you, it will come out to meet you. At bonaich, The same thing, your children. Even Shahabeya Aison, once the well will see them, the water will see them, Yat Tehe Ola, it will come and meet you. And then it brings from even later on that this is what happened in the 40 years in the desert, the Be'er Shel Miriam. That there the water used to follow Yisrael around and come up to meet them. And that's what the Medrash brings, Oz Yosher Yisrael Hashira Azeis Ale Be'er. Therefore, Vayoras are evidently cross. He ever ran to meet her, Maaseh HaTovim, when he saw this deed. So it seems that not only she had this bracha, it seems that she was the source of this bracha, that the other Ovis were to inherit. This is also something very, very great. Then, further we see that in our parsha, she was an Akora, she was barren, and Yitzchok and she were mispalel to Hashem. They prayed, and then she became pregnant. Vatarifki ishtay. Vayisreitzes huabonim bikirbo, and the children that she was carrying, were carrying, they were having a war. States, a whole war was going on there. It was Yaakov and Esav. They were fighting over the inheritance of both worlds. But she had enormous pain. It states enormous pain, that it was almost pain that could kill someone. And she didn't know what to do. And she said, Im gen, loma ze anochi, what did I want this for? Vatelach lidreses Hashem. So she went to seek out Hashem. It states she went to shame. To shame the son of Nayach, who had a beis medrash, and she asked him to find out what's going on. Vayemar Hashem lo, and Hashem said to her. So Hashem came back and he said to her, and he told her what's going on. So these are not just two sons; these are two great nations, and they are going to become two empires. And Mimemayach Yiporedu, and once they will be born, they are going to go in their own directions. They're totally contrary to each other. Ulaim Elaim Yemots, and one will live off the other. When one is on top, the other one will be on the bottom, and the same thing vice versa. And Barav Yavotsu here, and at the end of days, the older one will succumb to the younger one. Now, Vayemar Hashem lo, firstly, we see she was a prophetess. Because here she was receiving a prophecy. But secondly, it says, Vayim Hashem lo, Hashem said to her, the Chizkuni brings lo velele. This prophecy was only given to Rivka. It was not given to Yitzchok. Perhaps had Yitzchok known this prophecy, which in it states that in the end of days, the older one will become servient to the younger one, then perhaps he would have looked differently at Yaakov and Esav. But this prophecy was not given to Yitzchok, it was only given to her. And she never told Yitzchok. Since it was only given to her, she maybe felt she had no right to tell it. But again we see that she was a prophetess, and even greater than Yitzchok in this aspect, even Esor was greater than Abraham in this aspect. Now, actually, the Medrash says something even more profound. The Medrash in Parsha Samach Gimel Ozayin says, Toni b'shemerim nechemya, ru'uya haisa rifka, shiyamdu mimena yud beishvoti. Actually, Rivka was capable, had the potential, to give birth to all of the 12 shvatim, to the 12 sons. The Medrash darshens it because in this pasuk that the prophecy came back to her, if we calculate, the number 12 is mentioned. It says, Ve'im Hashem lo shnei goyim b'vitnech. There are two nations in your womb. So that's two. Again, shnei lu'umim mimayachi poredu. Two empires. It's another two. That's four. Ula'om milom yemots. One will live from the other. That's another two. So that's six. V'rav yave tzo'ir. That's another two. So that's eight. By yimlu'u yomeho laledes. They filled their days to be in the womb. It refers to they, both of them. It's another two, so that's ten. By Yetse Harishain Admoni, the first one came out red. Vachrechein Yotzu Ochiv, and then his brother came out. It's another two, that's 12. The Medrash also darshans, when she said, Loma Zeh Onechi, why do I need this? The Gematri, the numerical value of Zeh, 7 and 5 is 12. But she was fit to give birth to all 12. Now that is something, because we see Yaakov gave birth to all 12, but only through four wives. The Maral brings that, why four wives? He said, because Rachel or Leah were not capable to give birth to the 12 Shvatim alone. Therefore, he needed Rachel and Leah and the two maidservants. And here the Medrash saying that Rivka had the potential of giving birth to the 12, Shvatim, the 12 tribes herself. Along the way, she lost that potential. Some say the reason was is because she said, Loma Zeh Onechi, she didn't want it. It was too much for her. But at any rate, here we see her greatness. Now, but of the greatest thing that she's doing now is where she's saving the whole day, the whole history of Klal Yisrael, right here. The Torah tells us here in Pasuk Chof Ches, Vayeav Yitzchak es Esav Kitzai Befif. Yitzchak loved Esav because he would always bring him his game. V'Rivka Eves es Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov. The Medrash tells us in this parsha, Kufra taba lepuma, v'kasa taba lepume. Esav, we've elaborated many, many times on this, which we will not do now. But Esav was the great Mechabed es Oviv. He gave honor and he served his father, the Gemara says, like no one ever did before. And he would bring Kupra Tabala Puma, he would bring the best dishes of food to his father and the best wines for his father. Rivka Heves is Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov. Kol Shoy Sushumas Kelei. The more she heard his voice, Hoyame Sefes Lei Avo Al Avosoi. The love that she had for him would constantly grow and increase. Now, what does this mean? Later on in the parsha, when Yaakov came to Yitzchok, Yitzchok said, "Hayadayim yidei Esav, hakol kol Yaakov, hayadayim yidei Esav." He couldn't understand who it was, because you say you're Esav, your hands and arms are like Esav, but the voice is the voice of Yaakov. The simple sense is, it sounded like Yaakov, and the hands were strong and hairy and so forth, like Esav. But the Chazal darshan, and when he said the voice was like Yaakov, the Chazal darshan in a number of places. One is in Pirkei Rav Lezer, at the end of Perek Lamed Beis. He said, Yaakov said to his father, Kumno shvo ve'ochle mitzedi. He says, please, get up. Please, come now. Eat from what I brought. When Yaakov asked him, how did you find the game so quickly? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me the game, and so forth. Omar Yitzchak HaKol Kol Yaakov. He says, the voice is the voice of Torah, the Hegyon Torah. The voice is the voice of someone who's Masker Shem Shemayim. He speaks of Hashem. He speaks Kum No Derech Tachnunim. He speaks so politely. He speaks with such midas, with such good kindliness and quality, good qualities. This is the voice of Torah. This is the voice of you, of Yaakov, that he recognized. On the other hand, the hands were the hands of Esav. Now Esav, he was distinguished with his hands. Yaakov was distinguished with his kol, with his voice. The hands of the person represent the chitzenius of the person, the exterior part of the person. The kol, the voice of the person, is representing what's inside the person. And therefore the Chazal Darshan, Al Charba Chotichya, what will he do with his hands? He will live by the sword. And it states, the Chazal Darshan, that the symbol of Esav was that of a chazir. Rashi brings in the Sedra. Why that of a chazir, of a pig? It states that the animals, a kosher animal, has to have two sides. He has to have split hoofs, and he has to chew his cud. One side is visible, is on the outside, and one side is not visible, is on the inside. An impure animal lacks either, only has one side. Some have just the inside sign that's Tohar, a camel. They have an inside sign that's Tohar, but not the outside sign. The pig is unique, where it has the outside sign of purity. He has split hoofs. But inside, he doesn't have the sign, which is Tomei. And that's why he sits with his hoofs out to show everybody, Ru'u, see, I am Tohar. This was Esav. Esav was all in the exterior. Actually, Yaakov thought he was medaktik b'mitzvahs, he was a tzaddik, because when he was by his father, he would go to all extreme to show him afrumias. So Yitzchok thought, medaktik b'mitzvahs are you. My son Esav was so zealous in the mitzvahs. It was all in the exterior. And this also had to do with his constant closeness and serving of his father. And he was the Midas HaSheker. This is the Midas HaSheker. And that's the quality of the Eilam HaZeh, of this world, where it conceals the truth. It's the exterior. Everything is superficial from how it looks on the outside. And Yitzchak was not able to see through this. Therefore, Yitzchak aveth Esav, because of what Esav constantly did for him. And he was constantly deceiving him. And these are the Yadayim Yidei Esav, the hands of Esav. Yaakov, to the contrary, it states Ishtam. He was a person that was Yosha, perfectly straight. Bepiv Kein Liboy. What he said was in his heart. What was in his heart, he said. He was perfectly straight. Ishtam en yadea l'ramay, says Abrias. He didn't know how to deceive. And this was the kol Torah and the kol tefillah. Rivka saw this. She says, "Calls mom, she called Masha Shemas Kalei. Every time she heard his voice, she was Mesif Avose Alavose. Her love grew even more for him. She saw what he was. This is why the Chazal Darshan, Kishadaim Yedei Kishakol Kol Yaakov, Ein Yedaim Yedei Esav Shelbo. When there is the voice of Yaakov in the world, that's the voice of truth, then the hands of Esav have no keach. Dissipates the sheker. Kishein Kol Kol Yaakov. When there's no voice of Yaakov, then there's no voice of Torah and Tefillah. Then the Yadayim Shel Esav, that's in our world. Then the sword prevails, the sheker, the deceit prevails. Actually, there's a beautiful medrash in the beginning of the Psich of Echo, where I believe it was with Bilam, that they asked Bilam, one of the conquerors of Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to conquer Yerushalayim. And they asked Bilam, "Will I be successful?" So he said, "Go and see if there are chadorim in Yeshiva Ketanos. Go there and see if they are teaching Torah to children. If they are, don't attack, you won't be able to conquer. If they're not, then you'll be able to conquer." So he asked him, "How do you know?" Because it states, "Kishakol kol Yaakov," when there's the voice of Yaakov, he says, the voice of Yaakov are the tinaikis mitzach tzifin b'torah. When you hear the chirping of the children in Torah, that's the kol Yaakov. Then ein yada yedei Esav shelit b'hem. Then the hands of Esav have no power. Kishein hakol kol Yaakov. When there is no voice of Yaakov, then Esav will have success. This is what he told him. At any rate, it's interesting because when Yaakov didn't want to listen to Rivka, what did she tell him? She said as follows. She said, "Batemele imai," his mother said, "Alaikli losko b'ni, the curse will be on me. Achshma b'keli, listen to my voice. V'leich kachli, and go bring it for me. I'll prepare it. Go take. Listen to my voice." When Abraham didn't want to listen to Sora, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "Kol ma she'temar eilecha Sora shma b'kelo, listen to her voice, because it's a voice of Ruach HaKodesh." In the end, that was the Kol Yaakov. That it states that why did she love Yaakov? Because the more she would hear his voice, the more she would love him. And in the end, Yitzchok said, "I don't understand this. This person has the hands of Esav, but the voice of Yaakov." At any rate, she saw this. Yitzchok didn't see it. So here she intervened on her own, and she was matzil klal Yisrael. She saved Yisrael and the whole world. So we have these two women here in these parshas, Sora and Rivka, that on their own went and changed the history of the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020 Johannesburg, South Africa.